Welcome to Baby in Berlin, the podcast for international families in Germany, where we share information and resources about pregnancy, birth, and the early family years. My name is Elodie. I'm a mother of two and a maternity concierge and postpartum doula living in Berlin. My role is to accompany parents on the adventure of having a baby in Germany. I mostly do this through my online course available on babyinberlin.com. I was born in France and I got pregnant shortly after moving to Germany. I came to experience firsthand what it's like to give birth in a foreign country, not knowing what to do and when, and not even speaking the language. I've created this podcast to share my knowledge of the pregnancy and birth system in Germany. I hope you'll enjoy it. Welcome. Hi everyone. In this episode, I talk to Jessica Strickmann, an on-call midwife, a Beleghebamme in German, working in Berlin's St. Joseph Hospital. She's the founder of the Erdmutter Collective, a collective of on-call midwives offering prenatal care, birth care, and postpartum care to families all over Berlin. She lives in Berlin with her three children, and I was really excited to have Jessica agree to this interview because she's nothing less than a rock star in the pregnancy and birth world in Berlin. I had to cut this interview in two parts as we had so many topics to discuss. In this second episode, listen as Jessica explains what a transfer from a home birth to a hospital really looks like and how she makes sure she's always available when on call. Jessica will talk us through the details of her work, like when should a couple get in touch to secure a spot with her, how much her services cost, and what can you do to have the best care if you cannot get a Beleghebamme. Finally, she'll reveal to us what she really thinks about doulas, and how one can get involved politically to ensure that as many parents as possible receive one-to-one care at birth. This episode comes with a small trigger warning as we will be discussing midwife care around miscarriages. You mentioned earlier the transfer from home birth to the hospital in some cases.
Yeah.
And I think for a lot of parents, this transfer in their mind is something that's quite stressful.
Yeah.
So I'd like you to run us through what such a transfer looks like. I mean, are we talking about, you know, you ring a number and there's like a helicopter coming and the baby has to be delivered by C-section and the ambulance or... because I think that because of maybe the movies and the media and etc., not everyone has a realistic idea of what such a transfer looks like.
So maybe first of all, I can say that we have some kind of this transfer with nearly every birth, because what we offer, even in a Beleggeburt setting, is that we like... The moment the couple calls us and they tell us, well, contractions started, and we do a lot of first aid stuff on the phone, just like, okay, take a bath, take maybe some Buscopan, try to move, go for a walk, like the first when labor is starting, like, okay, are you coming? Well, are you okay with the situation? Are you feeling okay as a couple to cope with that? And when they're calling again, they normally ask us to come to their place first. So the first hours of laboring we spend at the couple's home. So it's always starts a little bit like a home birth, but. When we plan a Beleggeburt, it's pretty clear at some point we are going to go to the hospital.
Okay.
And then it depends a little bit on where the couple lives and how the contractions are progressing, how like what was the cervix doing? Is it dilated like just 3 centimeters or is it already 8 centimeters, something like that. And then it's part of our job to like find a good balance maybe at a certain point tell the couple, well, I see you still get along very, very well, and you're breathing well, you're relaxed, but your cervix is dilated 8 centimeters. Maybe we now drive to the hospital, because then you can arrive there calmly, everything is easy, you can decorate the delivery room before really everything gets like serious, and I can prepare everything I need, and it's really relaxed for all of us. So it's not like rushing to the hospital, nearly pushing, and then it's just mm-hmm. like bop, 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 mm-hmm. like falling into this room and mm-hmm. the baby is born. That's kind of okay too. So because having a quick birth is maybe what every woman dreams of, but I think it's easier when you come to a place that is not yours. So it's nice to feel the atmosphere of the place, and everything really happens calmly and easy, and it's not this stressful situation. So we try to avoid that. Sometimes this is not possible, just because the baby has its own plan, and then you do like falling into this room and woman is pushing and you're catching the baby, and then it's okay too. So all the options are fine, but and we try to do more or less the same during a home birth. So the first thing is we want to be the baby and the mom to be safe. Mm-hmm. So and like all this what people say, oh, you're so brave giving birth at home, and no, it's not brave, it's normal and it's natural, and women can give birth, and of course it's not like just because you're at home it nothing can happen. It's like sometimes things happen, and then it's our job to react as quickly as possible. And you have real, real, real emergency situations where you have to call the ambulance and maybe a helicopter, and everything has to be so really quick and as fast as possible. And then we do not choose St. Joseph's, but the nearest hospital. So we are really in an emergency where there's a danger for the mom or the baby or both. That's 1%. So you have a 99% chance everything is going to be fine. And even if we see, and this is our job, especially when we're at home with the couple, and especially during a home birth, to find out that moment where it starts to become not perfect anymore, and where maybe the baby's heartbeat is falling a little bit during the contractions or after the contractions. So we try to find out that moment where it's getting stressful for the baby or for the mom. And then we can tell, okay, have a look. At the moment, everything is still totally okay. It's still fine. We have plenty of time. Mm. But just in case, better safe than sorry, let's go to the hospital.
Okay.
And normally we do that when the couple has a car. We use that because it's the easiest, the quickest. Otherwise, we call a taxi, a cab. Normally, we don't use an ambulance. I think ambulances are for emergencies, and it makes no sense to call an ambulance just because your water broke, or you have a midwife next to you and maybe you have a little bleeding, or like the baby's heartbeat is reacting to the contractions. When the midwife is fine with the situation and tells you you have all the time in the world, but it's better to be at a hospital, then you can just go there with a taxi. And then you tell them that you are laboring when you call the taxi, so the driver is like prepared. And then they send somebody who is okay with the situation. And normally the moment you tell them, this is my midwife, it's fine anyway. I think their biggest fear is to catch a baby in the car.
And sometimes they
tell stories like that. It's always fun. They're mostly just like the kind of Turkish Arabic taxi drivers, and they tell from all the they have years of experience, and then they tell all the stories of laboring women in their car, and that they catch the baby, and then they tell from talk about the birth of their wife and their daughters, and you know all the stories when you reach the hospital. It's cool.
Very, very fun.
Cool. So in most situations, it's not an emergency transfer.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And maybe this is kind of a good information for the people too, that you do not have to go to the hospital that moment your contractions are starting. So mm-hmm. you can do something like we do with the people we care about, more or less alone. So of course it feels easier or more safe when you have just a backup on the phone or somebody you can call to come to your place. But as long as you feel safe as a woman and you can feel your baby moving and everything feels totally normal, there's no need to rush to the hospital immediately. Mm-hmm. But maybe really take your time, wait till you have regular contractions and until you have the feeling, okay, I don't want to be at home anymore. So I need this hospital surrounding, like people telling me everything is fine, but your place is your place. Mm. It's your toilet. You can eat. You can drink. You're not like...
You can shower, have a bath.
Yeah, yeah. And it's pretty interesting. But even when we reach the hospital with a couple, there's a kind of a change because this is my home base. Mm. Even if I'm not living there, of course, but it's the place I'm used to. And then people start to okay, can I go to the toilet? Can I drink? Can I do stuff? Am I allowed to? And always okay, try to feel at home as much as possible. You can do whatever you want. Mm. Make yourself feel comfy. There's a toilet. You can eat. You can drink. As long as I'm not telling you not to do something, you can do anything you want to and you feel fine with. And I think that's the most important thing during labor.
But it's not something that we're used to,
right,
in the media, mm-hmm, and the movies. First, we think that a birth is super quick.
Right, yeah.
You know, a woman, you know, the waters break and first it's liters coming out.
Of course.
Which... whatever.
No,
It may be liters, but not in one go.
Right.
And it's super quick, which
right.
it isn't.
And normally they call the ambulance or something as if it's an emergency,
mm-hmm,
just having a baby.
Yeah.
And then, 3 minutes later, it happens.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's really embarrassing in a way, but even if it's the craziest, non-realistic birth, it always makes me cry when I see it on TV.
Oh.
Hearing that baby's
really?
I don't have that when I'm in the delivery room because I'm in my flow and I'm like the professional I am.
You're working.
Yeah, right. But the moment I'm stepping outside of this zone, it's and it's really rubbish births. Really water breaking, ambulance, they stop, baby's crying, you do not even see something, and it's so emotional.
Wonderful. It's cute that you're still so so emotional,
yeah,
about this.
Yeah.
So you mentioned earlier about the duo, so you with,
mm-hmm,
Luisa and then the other midwife trio, and I think another question that I get a lot, mm-hmm, of the time from clients about Beleghebamme or anyone who is on call, so mm-hmm, an on-call midwife, or it can be a doula,
mm-hmm,
how do you make sure that you're available on the day? I mean, day and night,
mm-hmm,
anytime, is then Luisa your backup, or do you both go?
Yeah.
How does it work?
Well, it's a little bit no risk, no fun. So when you... in our contract, of course, we create the situation of, okay, there are three births at once, and what are we going to do if this is going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
And, first of all, we are a duo, or at least five midwives in one team.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine any situation where even if I have two births at the same time, which never happened before, in the last few, at least not in the last few years, that I can't get any other of my teammates to come to the delivery room and help me. And even if you're the couple that is then getting the midwife, you do not know, it's still a one-to-one care and it's still our vibe. Next emergency plan level is to call another Balikibamma from St. Joseph's to just ask one of the other colleagues, and then it's the same. It's still a one-to-one care, and most likely it's not for the whole birth, but just for a short amount of time where it's more important that I'm with the other couple. And if this happening, you can hear that I'm talking a lot. I'm always talking a lot, and and we do that with the couples too. So we're a huge fan of all the you have all the information I have, and you can make choices on this basis. And yeah, that's what I would do in a situation like that too. So explain it to both couples, and then tell them, okay, in my opinion, it's better when I call this or that midwife, and then she's caring about you because I expect the other couple to give birth earlier or whatever. But it's a very theoretical creation, as it never happens to us. So when I when we plan kind of the month, it's well, we can just the only thing we have to like find something or like to coordinate it is a due date. And we try to like have like more or less two couples in the beginning of the month, two couples in the middle of the month, and two couples in the end of the month. Sometimes this is not working out, and just because it's just a due date, it's like I use the German term erratener Termin, because the German short form is ET. And like you can say, I think no, it's not the same in English, but it's estimated due date, and the real translation in German is errechneter Termin, so you calculated your date of birth. And I said no, we're just guessing. And because it's just guessing, you have this period of time of around about 5 weeks where you can give birth. So sometimes it's even more more likely that we have like births on many different days when we set or when we take couples who all have the same due date. So it happens in the beginning of October. We have three couples and their due date is the 3rd of October. We'll see.
Or second day. It's the German national day.
I know. So it's not too bad when it's your birthday. So you always have like a holiday and you don't have to work. So now it's a little bit like playing Russian roulette, but it worked out the last few years.
Yeah, okay.
And we have like kind of plans for that. And yeah, on the other hand, it's like we have like a half, so we share this being on call. Like in the duo with Luisa, it's like half of the months. Mm-hmm. We have a certain plan and a certain rhythm in changing these being on call days. And the trio is doing the same, just in a different rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know when you are on call.
Yeah.
And of course, we're talking to each other. So for example, we have both kids. And if maybe one of our children has like, I don't know, measles or whatever, chicken pops, and we can't work because we have to care about our kids, and then we're changing.
Okay.
So it's like we give each other back up, and that's the reason why I only want to work as a duo.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine to have more. I'm not a trio or more type of guy, but a one woman show. No, I did that last summer. It was really exhausting.
Mm.
It's kind of fun too, because the relationship with the couples is extra special because it's just you and them. But no.
Yeah.
No. I have three kids and friends and a private life. And even with that, sometimes it's challenging. But I can't work differently.
Yeah. Yeah, because some Balikibamma work on their own.
Yes.
Right.
That's so crazy.
They are on call on their own.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So you mentioned, so basically you're explaining the best thing you can do is you have a guesstimate of the due date, so you mm-hmm. work with that, so you mm-hmm. never know when the baby is coming, right. No one knows, mm-hmm. and but in any case you always have a backup plan or several right. levels right. of backup yeah. plans. And so how many months before their due date mm-hmm. should couples arrange for a Belegebamma?
The moment you pee on this pregnancy test. So it might be like 9 months before your due date. Yeah, the situation at the moment in Berlin is, and in all the big cities, in the landscape, it's a little bit more, or in small towns, it's a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. But very often the small towns, for example, do not have Belegebamme anymore, so you can't find any of them there. Originally, I started to be a midwife in Duisburg, in Ruhrgebiet. And the year we left, me and my former partner, she stopped being a Belegebamme and I just left to go to Berlin. There are no Beleg midwives anymore in Duisburg. Oh. So we are kind of privileged here in Berlin. The energy here makes it easier to offer some kind of stuff or stuff like that. And here, in comparison to other big cities, I think we have still a lot of home births and Beleg midwives, but we're still not enough. So, it's really, at the moment, it's really like you have to call the midwives the moment you know you're pregnant.
So don't wait to have a confirmation from your gynecologist, no. because that can be week 7, 8, 9, 10 before yeah. you see a heartbeat.
Right.
And don't wait until you're past the first trimester.
Right.
Which is what a lot of parents do, because
mm-hmm.
the risk of miscarriage is much, mm-hmm. much less. Right.
So you have a confirmation just by peeing on this test.
Yeah.
It's there is not a little positive. It's negative or it's positive. And when right. it's positive, you're pregnant. And there is not a little pregnant. And I think especially for the woman, maybe for the partner too, but more for the woman because she's carrying this baby. The moment you know you're pregnant, you're a mom in a way. And there is a baby, even if it's just a spot on this little print you get from your doctor. There's a baby. And I think that's a reason why it makes totally sense to get in contact with a midwife. The moment you know firsthand, you have the right to have a midwife from your first day of pregnancy on, so insurance are paying for that. You have it gives you the opportunity to get to know your midwife very, very well, like because you know her from the first day till the end of maybe the Wochenbett or the first year or the first birthday of your baby.
Mm.
And even if you have a miscarriage and the baby decides to leave you again, you are allowed to have, and maybe you can really need midwife care in that situation.
Mm.
So we are allowed to help you with this, what I call it, little births. Because it's not necessary to have an operation or to go to a hospital for that, but you can just wait till your body makes a decision to let that baby go. And maybe then you need advice because the bleeding is strong or the bleeding is not strong or you feel sad. And I think it's good to have somebody next to you who is a professional and who maybe, of course, is emotional too, but it's not like your partner or other people, and who can has a medical point of view on that, and on the other side maybe a more natural or alternative way to look at it than a doctor might.
Mm.
The good thing is that I think this is changing in Berlin too. So most of the doctors here are not like, okay, here's your, Überweisung. your prescription to go to the hospital and have an operation, but they're more like, okay, you can wait, we can help a little bit with some medication or stuff, but they're not in this like, we have to do like operation like
in the case
immediately
of a miscarriage.
In case of a miscarriage, right.
Mm.
So it's more natural here in Berlin anyway. But even then, I think it's good to have somebody to your side or next to you who you can call when bleeding is starting or whatever to get some more information about that. And so I think it always makes sense to have a midwife from the beginning on, because when you get into that situation, you are maybe like 9 or 10 weeks pregnant, and then you try to get somebody and they will all tell you, sorry, I'm fully booked, I have no opportunities to care about you, and then you have to do it alone.
Yeah.
And I think that's... there are better ways to do it.
Yeah, because we don't talk about it often enough,
mm-hmm.
but one in five
right.
pregnancies, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
That end in a miscarriage. And so if, in this case, if a woman contacts you
mm-hmm.
as soon as she knows she's
mm-hmm.
pregnant, she's like 4 or 5
mm-hmm.
weeks pregnant, you take her on, but then she does happen to have a
mm-hmm.
miscarriage, then you can care for her
right.
like around
mm-hmm.
that
right.
time.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's really
and she
good.
Has like, she's allowed to have like postnatal care,
yeah.
which is of course not like the postnatal care you have when you give birth to your baby after 40 weeks of pregnancy. But maybe you need somebody to talk to just to... No, okay, why did that happen? Is there a reason why this happened? Or, okay, my bleeding stopped. Is that okay? When can I get pregnant again? And just, it's mostly talking. It's not so much this medical checkups we
mm-hmm.
do during Wochenbett after a mature baby is born. But it's a lot of talking and a lot of like, okay, that your body did something totally like right, so your body made a good decision because of this and that, like to empower women, and most of them really feel empowered when they do it naturally. So
mm.
when the miscarriage is not happening or is happening and you kind of give birth to your small little baby,
mm.
it's good to do it that way, I think. But of course it's always like your choice. It's not like this is really the right way. So it's you choose what's right for you in that very moment. And then it's our job to be next to you no matter what your decision is.
Yeah, and to inform them.
Yeah,
because
right.
I think a lot of parents don't have the time to inform
mm-hmm.
themselves
right.
when that happens. So that's
right.
really good. So definitely as soon as you know you're pregnant.
Yes.
If you have two little bars, it says pregnant. There is no a little bit pregnant. It's pregnant
right.
or
mm-hmm.
not. You can call your Belikebama
mm-hmm.
and they don't have to feel silly about calling you.
No.
To already plan for their birth and
mm-hmm.
their care. This is perfectly normal and this is what
right.
they should be
yes.
doing if they
yes.
want your care. One thing we haven't talked about yet is it's an amazing service, and
mm-hmm.
I know the prenatal care, you mentioned the postnatal
mm-hmm.
care is paid for by the health
mm-hmm.
insurance. Is your entire service paid for by the health insurance, or do the families
mm-hmm.
have to pay some
mm-hmm.
private costs?
Most of it is paid by the health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Us being on call, not.
Mm-hmm.
And the price the midwives or the money the midwives want for that service varies a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Berlin, I think it's round about 800 to 1,000 euros
mm-hmm.
For more or less 5 to 7 weeks period of time being on call for you. And most of the like what is it called, not a private insurance but the normal ones,
gesetzlich,
yeah, like
public,
yeah, thanks, the public health insurances, most of them are kind of offering like paying 200 up to 250
mm-hmm.
euros
okay.
Kind of back, So when you paid your midwife, you get a bill or something where she writes down that she got the money, and then you can send it to the insurance and they will send you 250 euros. Some pay more and some pay less, but that's kind of the average.
Yeah. Wow, that's really reasonable for being on call for 5 weeks, day and night, yeah, and weekends.
Mm-hmm. I think so too.
And for the couples, the parents who are too late, mm-hmm, so we will mention in the episode notes where they can reach you, yeah, and you have a specific, mm-hmm, process. Mm-hmm. So we'll mention that, the number where they can text you, but the couples who are too late, yeah, in booking a Belegebamme, mm-hmm, what alternatives, mm-hmm, would you suggest for a good, as good as possible, or good as possible care during the birth?
Well, of course, first of all, I would say, like, get yourself a midwife for pre- and postnatal care. Mm-hmm. So not many or not all of the midwives offer prenatal care. But then get one for the postnatal care as, mm-hmm, soon as possible too. But because it's nearly the same, we are all booked very, very early. Mm-hmm. And maybe for the birth, a doula. Mm-hmm. So you have a birth professional, a birth worker with you during the birth, because I don't think it's the job of the dad to do what we do. Not only on this medical basis, but sometimes even in the courses or other people tell you, well, you have to advocate for the birth and for your wife. And I think that's overwhelming, and it's a lot of responsibility for something where you might not have enough knowledge about. So I think that might be tricky for both parts of the couple. So, mm, she's relying on her and he's like, whoa, but I do not know either. So it's good to have somebody with you who's doing that, or just giving you massages and caring about the partner and giving you food and water and just be around, giving advice, just being there, and you can rely on them. And you know her too. Mm-hmm. So there are meetings before. And I think that might be a good alternative. Mm-hmm. The problem at the moment is that, like, other birth workers except the midwife and other people except the partner, whoever that is, so your birth partner, are not allowed to go with you into the delivery room. Mm. So sometimes people tell me, yeah, well, a doula is nice, but I'm going to pay her and then she's not able to come with me to the delivery room. But even then, I think you have a backup. So if your partner is not able to come with you, we do not know, maybe because of COVID, maybe because he has diarrhea and is not able to be with you because he's really, really sick, it's good to have a backup. And even if she's not able to come with you to that place, you can call her, you can discuss things, you can get more information if you don't get it from the staff, things like that. So I think it's a benefit to have, yeah, to have a doula with you if you can't have a Belegebamme. Mm. Yeah, and I think that's everything you can get. Yeah. Like when it comes to that field.
Yeah.
Like especially when it comes to birth and the pregnancy and, mm-hmm, the Wochenbett, there are not so many other professionals around. So the doula can care about you in the Wochenbett too. So if you do not get a midwife for that time of you having a baby, she can be there too. Mm-hmm. And of course, she's not a medical professional, mm-hmm, in when it comes to these topics. But of course, she's experienced, and at least she's going to help you with the baby, maybe cook some food, so she has other qualities that we don't do. Mm-hmm. So you can have both of us. It might be nice in the Wochenbett too. Yeah, but I think that's in all this craziness we have at the moment and this lack of midwives, it's the best alternative you can get.
Mm, yeah, and also about the pre-hospital, like when you're already in labor, mm-hmm. but before going to hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you want to stay home for as long as possible, to have a doula mm-hmm. who's there, who knows the process of birth.
Yes.
So she's not a medical professional, mm-hmm. right? And I think all doulas are very careful about mm-hmm. you know not stepping the line and not saying they can deliver babies or help mm-hmm. deliver babies. But yes, being there and also caring logistically for you
mm-hmm.
and the partner. And so,
Or maybe give you advice when to go to the hospital because they just experienced it. No, okay, now you sound like that. Maybe it's a good point to go to the hospital. Mm. Otherwise, it will be even harder to sit in the car.
Absolutely. And... you just mentioned the lack of midwives, the crazy situation that we're in. Why are we in this situation? Is it just Berlin? Is it everywhere in Germany?
I don't think it's really everywhere in Germany. The huge, the big cities have the problems. Other cities too. I think there are still areas in Germany where it's not like that. I talk to many, you have this social media stuff, and so I'm in contact with many midwives all over Germany. And I know some who say, well, it's no problem. Women are calling me and they're 20 weeks pregnant and I still have some capacities. But all the rest are like, what? Why? I think especially in the big cities where you have a lot of people and a lot of babies, we are not balanced.
Mm.
There are more babies or more couples having babies than you have midwives who mm-hmm. are still working in their jobs. Because I think, this is the main thing. We have enough midwives. But because of the whole situation of like working environment and not being paid appropriately, many, many women quit working in this job. Because they say, well, it's not, I can't have a family, work in shifts. If I'm not working in shifts and get all my insurances paid, but I'm doing that as a freelancer, I have to work so much that I can tell, well, it's worth it working that much and have enough money in the end of the month. And it's not in a good balance with my family life. I do not see friends. I don't have time to have my hobbies and or whatever. So in the average, they quit this job after around about 7 years because they're just exhausted and want to do a job they like and being paid well.
Mm.
And that's the situation we're in. Like, not at the moment. It's been like that for years.
Mm.
And we're screaming and complaining, and organizations like Motherhood came from that kind of 2014. It was a big event kind of because the insurances told us, oh, we don't know if we're still going to give you an insurance because your obstetric stuff you're doing there is very expensive when something is going wrong. And it was a huge drama because we're not allowed to work without insurance. And then parents from all over Germany organized this huge move that is now Motherhood. And so you can see it's really been years. So I started when I became a midwife, I paid 1,900 euros of insurance per year.
Mm.
And even that was like, I was a young midwife just starting to have my own office and stuff like that. That was a lot of money. Mm. Now we pay around about 10,000 euros a year. And this is crazy.
Wow.
It's just totally crazy. And it's not because so many things happen. So it's not that we are sued every year because we do dump things or things happen, accidents, whatever, babies die or moms die, whatever, it doesn't happen. So it's really, really, still really, really rare, but we do pay more and more money. And I think that's a main reason why midwives hesitate to do what I do or what we do as Belegheb-Am or as Hausgeburtsheb-Am, because you have a lot of responsibility. You do not sleep enough, maybe, because you're on call. And you have all this, like, that makes it really exhausting being a Belegheb-Amme. And you have to pay a lot of money to be allowed to do that.
Yeah, sure.
And then you have quality management, all this stuff on top that makes it really, like, kind of, is it worth it?
Mm.
And my answer is still yes, it's worth it. But I'm doing that for like 20 years, so I can't imagine doing it differently. That's the way I'm a midwife. But having like young midwives, and you know, that's why it was surprising to have like 7 midwives wanting to work with me, because just like, are you sure? Do you know like what it means? And they're like, yes, but we can do it. But it's hard. Sometimes it's hard. Yeah. And it's the best job in the world. I wouldn't do any time. That's maybe why I didn't quit, because I have no alternative. There's no other job I can imagine to love like that. And maybe I can open up a cafe, but now we have COVID, so it's not, you know. So that might be the other thing, like with a children's cafe with and moms, and or like a center, a health center with physiotherapy. So I have some ideas, or like huge birthing place stuff like that. But that has all to do with my job. No, that has all to do with my job.
Let's buy a house in Brandenburg.
Yes, I have one in Pankow. I have something in my mind. No, so I really love that job, and I think it's still worth it. But yeah, at the same time, you know, and you maybe you saw that on Insta, some of my midwife colleagues, they like try to like rouse more attention to that. Like for one postnatal care visit, we get like 38 euros and I don't know what. Yeah, the insurance says, okay, that's what you get, because one of those visits might be like 20 to 30 minutes. Yeah, maybe when the baby is 4 weeks old and everything is totally fine and breastfeeding is working well and the bleeding is gone and the baby is sleeping well and has no
and the scar
tummy pains. Yeah, and everything is healing and your pelvic floor is fine and you are maybe not a first mom, but you already have 5 children and you know how it's going and stuff like that, then 20 minutes are fine. But otherwise it's like, hello, please make your baby naked, I can check the weight, and then are you okay? Yes, no, check, bye. Excuse me? So that's not the way I want to work, and many, many other midwives don't want to work like that too. So of course we take more time to care about the families, and I think it makes a difference that we're doing that.
Mm.
And I think that's the most, maybe that's the reason why I'm still doing it, because all the birth reports we write and all the feedback we get really make me believe that it makes a difference what we are doing. So it's not like it doesn't matter if you do that or you don't. It really makes a difference.
I think it really does. It makes a big difference to the families you care mm-hmm. for. I know some of them, and it matters how we're born.
It does.
So now that's really amazing that mm-hmm. you're still providing the service after 20 years.
Thanks.
And we'll put the. In the show notes, the link to Motherhood,
yeah.
which you mentioned, which mm-hmm. is an organization helping to promote the work of mm-hmm. midwives and
yeah.
Geburtshelfer.
Mm-hmm.
First
of all, they're for the rights of parents.
Mm-hmm.
So this is their main thing. And the good thing is that when you want to empower the rights of parents, you have to empower midwives. Because otherwise you will be alone in a delivery room if there aren't enough midwives. Of course, we have different aims in some things, but we have a lot of things in common. And it will come with one another, kind of. So if you really like, okay, I want to empower myself as a parent, and I want this and that and this, and I think then on the top of your list, something like a one-to-one care must be mentioned, and therefore you need midwives.
Mm.
So it's like we really benefit from the work that they are doing.
Yeah, oh, that's amazing. So thanks very much for all this time. I think the people listening to
us
are gonna have so much information from this. And we're just getting to the end of the interview where mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you the questions that I ask everyone I'm interviewing.
Yeah.
Which is, first of all, is there a resource? So it can be a podcast, a book, a website that you would recommend to mm-hmm. expat families in Germany that would help them,
mm-hmm.
Where you say, definitely have a look at this or read this.
Well, I'm a huge Ina May Gaskin fan, so when it just comes to birthing, I think you can read nearly every book of hers, and you can find something that's really empowering or resonates with you.
Ina May Gaskin. Good, we'll put some references as well in the notes. And as a person or a service that you would recommend, so it could be, I don't know, like a massage therapist or physiotherapist or anyone offering services?
Well, I think Maternita is very, very helpful, because the system in Germany is kind of confusing, maybe. I think it's maybe easier because you do not have so many options in other countries. So it's cool to have somebody like you, and especially with the Elterngeld, I also recommend you to German couples, because this is craziness, the next level. Other than that, us, of course. Then all the doulas. I'm kind of a huge doula fan, and postpartum doulas. I love placentas, so I would always recommend placenta encapsulation. So I'm like, when you compare Luisa and me, Luisa is the one, she studied midwifery. That's not the reason, but she's more like, she's totally like evidence-based. Do you have study for that? Okay. Otherwise, no. Rolling eyes, no globally and stuff like that. And she always calls me Shanti Shanti. I'm the Shanti Shanti lady with a medical professional as a basis. I'm for placenta encapsulation.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? I made a list in my mind when I read your question first, and now it's all gone.
I think it's quite good. So maybe someone to help you with the Elterngeld, placenta encapsulation is a good service that people could look out for, mm-hmm. doulas.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And you're a mom yourself.
I am.
Is there anything that you wish someone had told you about parenthood?
Well, so I always quote when I'm talking to people, and this is something that kind of guides me through my parenthood thing. So it was I gave her a birth preparation course, and then you talk about this wonder weeks, and like babies are not like they're not always like you expected them to be. And then we often say things, it will get better. It's just period, it's just a phase. That's true too.
Mm-hmm.
But this father said, like, it's not getting better, it's just getting different. And I think that's a cool thing, because it's not like it's not good, it's not bad. It's always getting different with babies, with children, with elder children. There's always something that's absolutely magical. And at the same time, there's always something that drives you nuts totally. And the mixture of it makes it perfect.
Aww. Well, we'll end on that. Thank you, Jessica Strickmann.
Thank you.
And
For more information about my services and courses, go to babyinberlin.com. Sound and music by David Nichols. Thank you all for listening. See you on the next episode.